Really short gospel today. Leaves room for a really long homily, don't you think? So what do you think of the news these days? 26-year-old from Prescott, whose life, even in this young age, was given over completely to finding, understanding, and helping people in the world whose suffering most of us can't even imagine. Is captured as she's leaving a hospital in Iraq, found murdered. Our nation noticed. 21 Coptic Christians martyred on a beach in Libya. The whole world noticed. This kind of thing gets our attention. These are stomach-turning tragedies. And they're also very dangerous for us because they can really activate that wild beast part of our brain, the most primitive parts of us, the parts that would have us continue, even escalate and perpetuate the chain of atrocities. A couple weeks ago, I was driving down Grant Road, and I saw a man, he looked to be about my age, wearing a black T-shirt with bold white letters on the front that said, "Infidel." He was holding a hand-lettered sign to the traffic that said, "Death to Radical Islam." Can't remember exactly where, but I seem to remember that on either his T-shirt or on his sign was also the image of an M16 assault rifle. I wanted to take his picture and show it to the man I was on my way to go listen to. He's a Paulist priest who was doing a series of presentations at St. Cyril Parish on the absolute necessity of radical forgiveness in our lives as a part of our lives as Christians. I didn't stop and take that man's picture. I was afraid. The hatred coming off of him was palpable and petrifying. So about now you're probably thinking, well, thanks a lot, Deacon Mark. I came in here to feel a little better, and so far it's not working out all that well. I bring these uncomfortable things up now because we just got done listening to some other news, some really good news. And if you stay with me just a few minutes, I think you'll see a reason for this. 5 weeks ago, remember, we heard the Gospel of Mark's story of Jesus' baptism, the voice from heaven speaking, "You are my beloved, in you I am well pleased." The very next verse in that gospel is what gives us our gospel today. Now, maybe it's because 5 weeks have passed in our liturgical year, but the church leaves out two very important words at the beginning of today's gospel. What are the words that are left out of today's gospel, choir?
At once.
Jesus hears, "You are my beloved." And then Mark, the gospel writer, says, "At once the Spirit drove him out into the desert." He's driven out into the wilderness among all the wild beasts and all the dangers that are out there. Mark's Jesus is given assurance of his relationship with the Father and plunged immediately into the darkness of our broken world. In my imagination, sometimes I hear another sentence being spoken to Jesus by that heavenly voice at his baptism. It says, "You are my beloved. Go be who you are meant to be. There will be beasts, but angels will minister to you." And when Jesus emerges from that wilderness, as we read today, he comes out proclaiming to the people of Israel who have been waiting and waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise of deliverance. He comes out preaching, "This is it. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Believe the good news. The kingdom of God is within your reach. Repent. That means you've been looking for fulfillment in the wrong places. Look in a different direction. Don't look to some earthly conquering military Messiah, but look instead to the love and mercy of God that is always and everywhere completely reliable. And that love waits for only one thing, Jesus tells us, for us to embrace it, to return its embrace, really, with faith. Believe the good news. That is the good news. What we've been waiting for decades, for generations, for centuries, is right here and right now. But even with Jesus preaching it, not everybody caught on. Huh? We're still working on it ourselves. In her wisdom, the church gives us this season of Lent every year. She calls each one of us back each year to a concentrated time of trying to remember a little better, of trying to understand a little bit more fully the implications of the teaching and the ministry and the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the implications for our individual lives and for our lives, all of us together. We come to Mass and we are fed with word and sacrament. We are assured, to the extent that we allow ourselves to believe this good news, we are assured of God's love for us, and then we are immediately sent back out into the wilderness. For us, just as for Mark's Jesus, there is a powerful and disturbing immediacy to our call to carry God's love into the world. For us, just as for Mark's Jesus, and for the people to whom Jesus preached, this is a life and death matter. Lent reminds us we have only this one life. We gather here to be reminded of our status as beloved of God, and we are sent forth to become who we are meant to be. Lent invites us to strip away whatever is distracting us from that question. Who am I meant to be in God's eyes? The journey of discovery is often very long and very confusing and even dangerous. So we keep coming back here because we need prayer. We need sacrament. We need each other along the way. Recently, I met a woman who lives in a care facility near here. She's in her late 90s. She's in her third year of recovering from a terrible automobile accident. She said to me, "You know, I could have died in that accident. I probably should have died in that accident. But there are people in this place who are so unhappy, so troubled. I can talk to them. I can be here for them." The answer to who we are meant to be might lead us to a hospital in Iraq, or to a room at the end of a hall in a long-term care facility. We might be noticed by millions, or maybe pretty much anonymous. But when we find the answer to who we are meant to be, we will know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. One final thought. I mentioned the Coptic Christian martyrs. Do you know who it is that tradition tells us was the founding apostle, the first bishop of the Coptic Church? John Mark, the writer of the gospel we just heard and we will continue to hear throughout the year. You see, this gospel story isn't over. It's happening now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Our hands. As you come forward for communion, reach out for it.